we're going to go to Heathrow, a major polluter. And not just a major polluter, but they're looking to expand by 40%. The third runway is utter lunacy. We're going to exploit a loophole in the law which says that any drone flying within the exclusion zone will lead to the shutdown and the grounding of planes. So that's what we're going to do. And the police may come and arrest us, and we know that we could be facing a prison sentence. I find that whole thing terrifying, but I find the future more terrifying. My youngest is 19. She wants to be a teacher. By the time she's qualified, the earth could be crumbling around her ears. Civilization, in the words of David Attenborough, could be collapsing.
James, are you sure we can do this?
Do what?
Oh, James, what are you doing? Hey, slow down, slow down. Do you have a driver's license?
No, I don't have a driver's license. Never have done. They won't give them to blind people for some reason.
Have you ever tried to get your license?
No.
Why not?
You have to read a number plate at 25 metres, I think. And I can't even read a number plate at 1 metre, so I can just about see the edge of the road.
How long have you been driving for?
Wow. That's a good, interesting story. I was at school in Belfast during the Troubles, and I hated it. That's, you know, the Troubles in Northern Ireland. I hated it. I was off sick a lot, and my GP, believe it or not, prescribed driving at the local motor racing circuit as a means of improving my mental health, really. And it worked, and, you know, I've never looked back since then. So it was really that sort of concept of, you know, looking outside the box. You know, you wouldn't normally get a blind kid driving around a racetrack, but that really just improved my self-esteem from rock bottom to sky high.
The moment that I discovered the climate and ecological crisis was when I met my daughter in Exeter. I was totally unaware of what was going on run up to that. And I met my daughter for coffee before we went off to do a talk at the university. And she was just devastated. She was grief-stricken. But when I saw her in that state, I thought, my God, there's something I need to pay attention to here. She wouldn't be this grief-stricken if this wasn't a big problem. So in that moment, I understood how serious things were. Just in that minute, I said, right, what do I do? And she said, well, there's this thing called Extinction Rebellion. Here's their kind of theory of change. And I thought, yeah, that makes complete sense to me. I'm in. So within a few days, I joined an affinity group in Bristol and was getting ready to go and take part in the occupation of the bridges. So it was a pretty quick turnaround for me.
What do you got there?
It's a drone.
Is that a present for a friend of yours?
Not exactly. No. Although, in a way, it is for James. So I've got mine back at the house.
So that's a present for James.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked it up at Click and Collect this morning. Ordered it at 10 o'clock last night, and there it was, waiting for me.
Oh, right.
I haven't decided what to do with it yet. Oh, no, maybe I have. We'll see.
It's a lovely place.
Welcome.
Oh, yes, we're going to practice today. So
it's a habit now. I spent the whole week in Bristol,
yes.
in the summer uprising. I spent the whole week with no shoes on.
Yeah.
And even when I was arrested,
I think I need some practice.
You'll be out there looking at starting at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that was what I woke up with this morning at you know, 6:02. I woke up and I thought, fuck, they're going to have helicopters. They're going to have the whole lot. They're going to have everything out there. And then I looked on my phone and I thought, I wonder if George Monbiot published his article yet. 6 o'clock, there it was, online.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so uplifting just to hear, read his words and have his endorsement, really. And so, yeah, I went from, I don't know, hopelessness to elation in like the space of 30 seconds. And then I thought, you know what, we can do this. Let's not get too attached to the outcome.
Well, it's one of the things that's been motivating me, not worrying. You know, I'm really influenced by that poem by Drew Dillinger, you know, what did you do when first you knew? And a bit about, you know, your grandchildren, how will they look back on these times? And I want to be able to say honestly, well, I did everything I could.
So it really is no matter of what future I'm sacrificing. Because the future that I can foresee, if we don't do anything about it, is basically going through the gates of hell. And the most terrifying is the transition, because it's not we're not being hit by a steroid and then all of a sudden we're all dead.
Yeah.
It's a process of decay and degeneration. Mm-hmm. And this is to me what really matters to me, not to having my good children, my nephews and everybody else's children growing in a war where they have to fight for their lives against other people. And this is that's as tragic as I see it. I mean, this is the moment that we got millions of people displaced by hunger, by famine, and by drought, by floods. The whole system, social system of morality and convention, it goes out the window.
It was during the Heathrow pause action I began to realize I did not know enough about climate change and the severity of our current situation. So I started to do some research on my own. I decided to ask my friend Wes Tibbetts, who is a commercial fisherman, if he had seen any changes in the Alaska fisheries.
My name is Wes Tibbetts. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. And for the last 60 years, my family has been harvesting salmon commercially in Bristol Bay, Alaska. Bristol Bay is the world's most abundant salmon fishery left. It's maintained that status by diligent management by both biologists and concerned fishermen. We are people who prioritized fish returns, healthy ecosystems over profit. We understand that if the fish do not spawn in the correct numbers, if the fish do not return in the correct numbers, then our fishery will collapse. This summer, I saw something that was very, very concerning. The average temperature in Bristol Bay over my lifetime has increased over 10 degrees. Warmer water holds less oxygen. And this summer, we saw for the first time in my life, fish dying by the tens, if not hundreds of thousands, because the temperature was too high for them to live. This is my livelihood. This is what my family does. We've been there for multiple generations. My father grew up in the villages of Bristol Bay. I've been spending my summers in Bristol Bay my entire life. Some of my fondest memories are in that area and the time that we spent together as family. I have my son who's 14 and I have daughters who are 12, and they now continue the family business, the family fishery with me. But I'm concerned that this fishery may be coming to an end due to the increase of water temperature and the change in our climate.
So I've had a very full and rich life, and I thought I was doing the right thing. Yeah, I knew about climate change, didn't everybody? And what became clear is actually, if anything, it was worse. I mean, nearly every person that I talk to gets it. They understand the urgency and the severity of the climate and ecological emergency. Where we differ is in terms of civil disobedience. I feel called to do more than just write to my MP and sign petitions, go on demos. You know, I feel that I've been doing that and it's not enough.
Okay, so, my name's Roger Hallam. I'm a co-founder of Extinction Rebellion. There's an aeroplane going overhead, and that's really the main reason I'm here today. Too many of the goddamn things. A number of years ago, I lost all my crops due to climate extremes. And that was a massive shock. And I really feel for all the other farmers, the tens of millions of other farmers, who are shitting themselves at this moment in time over what the hell's going on. If this isn't radical evil, I don't know what it is. You've just got to do what you've got to do, and that means economic disruption.
You can't film in here. So this is the drone that we showed. You can see it's very small, very light, but this will break the law by being flown at this height. And I am prepared to do that because this illustrates the sheer lunacy of the situation we're in. The world is burning, our lungs are on fire, and we've got the head of sustainability making the case for how we can offset and reduce the carbon output of aviation. But any growth that there might be can be offset by reductions of the carbon output of other industries, which are easier to reduce carbon in.
And the most important thing that we wanted to achieve from the meeting was that those whom we met understood that we are just ordinary people with children and grandchildren, and we're doing ordinary jobs, and we're desperate and we're frustrated, and we have tried everything else available to us, and breaking the law is the final stage.
I've had my adult life. I'm nearly 50, and my daughter doesn't have that. She doesn't have that certainty that she may live to her 50s or her 80s. All she can see ahead is death and destruction, and we are still arguing about whether it's real or not. It's completely insane. And I'm prepared to sacrifice everything to save my children.
So it's really about not seeing just quite how close things are, quite how what desperate measures are needed.
The urgency
is not there, and yet they are worried. They are scared, like everyone on this planet is scared. We're all feeling it.
But going in there and hearing Matt Gorman say that carbon is the enemy, every time he said that, that just annoyed me, because carbon isn't the enemy. Human beings we are our own enemies. We have to be in control of what we do, what decisions we make to affect our lives and the lives of the children in the future, in the near future. So it's too easy to say carbon is the enemy. Why is carbon the enemy? We created it. We can get rid of
it. When will we see you at the airport with a drone?
On the 13th of September.
That's definitely going to happen.
Definitely going to happen, unless if in the next few days Heathrow come back with a miracle answer that they've had a good think and they realise that this is really stupid.
They've been warned not to do it, but radical environmentalists are planning to shut down one of the world's busiest airports with toy drones. They say their plans at Heathrow on September the 13th are urgent to try to stop expansion at the airport and halt climate change. And they're prepared to go to jail over it. The Met Police say they'll do everything in their power to stop them.
The Heathrow pause action is inherently extremely safe and is a non-violent action. The reason for this is pretty simple. We're going to fly drones like this, so small drones and the kind you could buy at Argus, and we will fly them at head height.
So where are we right now?
Is it clean? You mean Northampton?
Yeah, we're in Northampton.
Northampton,
this is
yeah.
where you live?
Yep. So, beautiful Northampton.
Nice.
Picture up from the station. So, my boyfriend went to Ireland for a long weekend. It was a special occasion. It was his cousin's 60th birthday. And he said, I know you're not going to go, but I'd love you to go with me. And when he landed, he said, oh, that was really good flight. It was only 50 minutes. And I said, yeah, it's great in time. And I said, but I sent him something I saw on Facebook where you can calculate the carbon. And it, I think it actually gave the figures, but it also just said that's the equivalent of so many different countries where that's what the average person produces in one whole year. And that's the return flight. So that's just literally London to Dublin. And he did go, oh, wow. And I said, yeah. I said, it makes you think, doesn't it? Just your weekend away. And that's what we have to, stop doing.
How I came to Heathrow was kind of accidental, really, the Heathrow pause. At the point, anyway, when Theresa May declared the climate emergency, that day I went on Facebook and I posted, like, celebration, finally things are going to change. Days later, I read that they'd given the go-ahead for the expansion of Heathrow, and I was horrified, sinking feeling, total despair. So I thought, let's do Heathrow.
Protesters are planning to cause disruption and attempt to ground flights with drones at Heathrow Airport from this Friday. The group doing it is called Heathrow Pause. We've brought two of the people who'll be flying the drones together with three people trying to fly from Heathrow on that day.
I was going to say, when ordinary people are prepared to go to prison over this, it sends a signal that there must be something very serious going on here.
Mustira, do you accept that?
I think I understand that people are passionate and they want to save the world, but when it's affecting a lot of people negatively. Everyone needs to be aware of climate change, and I agree with that. But if it's going about the way you're going about it, it's making everyone have a negative view on that, and it would make them want to rebel in a certain way and not want to support your cause, because they will look at climate change protesters in a negative way. There are so many people that are on that flight for important reasons as well.
What's your important reason?
So I'm going on holiday with my mum, who's been quite ill lately, and I know she really, really needs that. And if she doesn't go, it will just make me really sad for her.
Can you have it both ways? You care about climate change.
Yeah, exactly.
But you also want to take your mum on holiday.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'm sure a lot of people care about our world and they don't want the world to end.
We're in a situation now where the climate apocalypse, that is, we're hurtling towards, is so close that every flight that people are taking today and in the future is impacting on real lives. People are dying already in the global south
through climate change. David, then, to acknowledge
and
that.
And also for our future generations and the children who are alive today, their lives are going to be massively disrupted in ways that go way beyond simply having a holiday delay.
I feel the energy of the entire action right now is at a point where people are really beginning to feel it. It's becoming more real. It's looming. And certainly for me, it's a bit of a roller coaster. You know, one minute I'm feeling really quite high, that here am I completely aligned with my deepest values, and really wanting to put myself there, right in harm's way. And then again, there are times, often at night when I'm in bed, and I wake up early in the morning and I think, my God, I really am in the dragon's mouth, feeling its fire right now. It's like, what if I go away to prison for years and years? And yet, there's never a thought that I'm not going to do it, but the fear really comes home, it really lands. That's quite a hard one.
Are you a professional campaigner?
I mean, I'm certainly not a professional campaigner because none of us get paid, we're all volunteers. So I'm a father, you know, I think most parents, in my, certainly the way I was brought up was is family comes first. And the example my parents have given me is incredible, you know, in terms of, you know, how to be there, that they're there for me, even now in my 40s. And so if that's how I parent, I would be always want to be there for my children. And I know that I would lay down my life to save theirs if that's what it took. And I think many parents are like that. So the moment came for me when I realised that their life is at stake. Their life is in jeopardy. So why wouldn't I devote every breath I have to saving their future, to saving their lives? And so that's what I'm doing. It's as simple as that. I'm a parent. I care about my children. I would lay my life down for them. Therefore, my life is in service to their future and to the future of the whole of humanity and all of life.
Whoop. Go inside.
Have you eaten?
I haven't, but after the monster meal that you gave me yesterday, I think I needed less today.
Oh no, come on.
I said Heathrow Pause.
Heathrow Pause.
You're like the Statue of Liberty.
Oh,
I think that's Linda.
Okay, yeah, so it's Wednesday, so just one more day till D-Day. I've been calling it D-Day in my head because I felt like a warrior getting prepared for war. Most of the time feeling utter fear at the enormity of what I'm doing because it's going to impact so many people that are going to be really, really, really upset. So I just feel all the more determined that whatever is thrown at us, got to do this. It's going to achieve, it's already achieved, I think, raising awareness. People around me, you think, like I said, you think they're just ignoring it or they're not listening. And then I had people saying, Linda, you're just saying what we're all thinking. People know really in their hearts that everything around us is just wrong and it's got to change.
If you could choose one person, who would that be?
I would love my grandchildren, the older ones, to come with me. That's what I would like, my grandchildren most of all to come with me. Yeah. Break the law together. It's their future. They might as well take some control of what happens now.
Okay, crisis averted. Oh man, up and down day. Totally, totally exhausted now. Just doing so much sort of practical stuff. I know everybody else is too. But I'm so tired. I don't know how many drones I've bought so far. But I've lost two so far. One of them, I took it with me. I was going to see a friend last night. And I had my rucksack on, I had the drone in the box under my arm, and I had my iPad in my hand for navigating because I don't see well in the dark, and I'd only been there once before, so I just used Google to navigate me there. So I put the drone down on the pavement while I checked my iPad and then walked away and left the drone lying on the pavement. Back on track, not deterred. Look at the difference we're making already. The conversation is shifting massively. And yeah, it's shifting away from the tactics to the ethics of flying. That's pretty something special, actually.
Are you planning to endanger traffic tomorrow? What's your safety concerns for tomorrow?
Absolutely not. There is absolutely no danger to anybody or to any plane. The this is a symbolic action. It's going to cause disruption because we are trying to get everybody to listen to the climate crisis that we are in and take meaningful action. You cannot declare a climate emergency on the 1st of May and then in the same week proceed to build a third runway, which alone is going to produce the same emissions as the whole of the country of Cyprus.
If you guys are successful, you'll cause a lot of disruption for people, including some people that are travelling in an emergency to see a loved one who might be dying, to a funeral, some people who might be going to a wedding, things like that. Have you and all of the people that will be flying drones tomorrow made any kind of vow or promise not to fly yourselves?
I'd like to answer this. I have flown in the past like everybody else. I have a daughter who lives in Los Angeles. I have two grandchildren who live in Los Angeles. And I made a vow and I told my daughter, definitely a year ago, you will not be seeing me because I am doing this for them. So why would I continue to put carbon in the air to kill them off?
I sort of weighed myself and thought, oh, I've just lost half a stone.
Is that it?
Yeah, so never mind diets, just join an action like this.
Well, I always used to say to people, you know, if you want to lose weight, you know, fall in love and get a broken heart, and that's another way. But yeah, this is another way too. The new diet.
The planes will be grounded tomorrow. You don't think just because either of you you're going to fly at head height and you're going to be outside the perimeter, you don't think they're just going to keep on flying?
Well, their own protocols say that they will ground planes, but obviously it's entirely up to them what they do.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you very much, Howard. That's great.
No problems.
And there's no chance of being able to be with one of these visitors while they're flying.
Absolutely none.
Okay.
Hey, Ramon. Hello. What's up?
Well, thank you very much, Howard. Cheers.
You're really welcome. Look forward to meeting you.
You want me to do what? You want me to go over to Billy's Cafe in North and Bethel Green and interview Roger? Okay, got it. On my way. Bye.
On conspiracy. Hey,
take a seat, thank you.
Roger, you only want to see?
No, whatever it takes.
Hello, this is William Watson. I'm a filmmaker following Heathrow Pause, and Roger Holland just got arrested right here in North London.
But that's the trouble. We don't know if they're, like, going to come for us.
Just explain for me, first of all, then, where we're at on the timeline, really, what's about to happen tomorrow and how you feel.
So, yeah, it's Thursday afternoon. Only a few hours now till tomorrow morning, Friday morning. I'm just ready. I just want to get tomorrow over with, really. It's so much uncertainty. I almost like have no idea what to expect because there's just so many different variables. But I'm just going to do my best.
Oh. Hi, mate.
Hi.
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
This is Roger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did let us know already. Do you know what on what grounds? Yeah, William. I think he let us know, so we just are aware of it. But, yeah, just trying to
help. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Where are the other people gone to?
Can we go somewhere to speak?
Sorry. Sure. Please.
Do you want to take a seat and then we can explain why we're here, what we're doing?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. What we want to do is, if there is anyone else here, we want to get this
seat. Nothing silly, obviously. Don't try and run with us about that.
And stop.
All our buses are at the front door. What are we doing?
Thank you.
I'm sure you can appreciate that none of the officers can talk about the offence with you at the moment. That would have to be under interview because there's certain provisions under the Police and Criminal Evidence Act that protect you and protect us.
Am I allowed to talk to them?
Feels really weird not doing.
At the moment, as long as it's not about the case, and why you've been arrested. So wow, I don't know what else I talk to them about. So can I talk about weather sort of, or any? How am I looking?
I think she's panicking because she was saying she's been trying to call you, but I'll let her know that you're right.
Worrying.
Yeah. Yes. Likewise, I've got sisters, they're always worried about me.
Yes. Sorry, I don't want to give my...
How are you feeling, Howard?
Proud, actually. I just told them.
Yeah, I was just going to say that you're proud.
Yeah, they said, did I want to go in the van so that members of the public didn't see me in handcuffs? And I was like, no, I'm proud. I'm really proud to be associated with this wonderful group of people. So, yeah, that's how I'm feeling. Yeah.
That evening, passing time until the first drone flights were set to go off, I looked at the developing bushfires in Australia and I found a video where a woman filmed a fire as it approached her house. I was fascinated and stunned. Using social media, I tracked her down and asked her to share her experience with me.
Climate change is it's really noticeable, and if you're honest and you really pay attention to what's happening with the temperatures, compared to, for me, 11 years ago when I came to Australia as opposed to now, you can really see that there's a massive difference. It's made us really quite scared of what's coming.
Behind me, you can really see how close the fire came to our home.
You could really hear the fire way before you could see it.
This is in my house and it's coming so close. The heat that comes off it is quite unreal. This is on my patio. Nobody seems to be stressed and worried. The firemen are quite unreal. Met a Dutchie fireman too, and it's still coming closer, and hopefully we should be all right. It's crazy. I wish somebody would bring me a beer. We could sit down and have a beer and look at this.
So James, tell me about what happened. How did you get here without getting it detected?
Oh man, do you know I've lost my tooth since I last saw you? I can't find it anywhere. I like being on camera without my tooth.
Yeah.
We left Dexter about 6. I guess it was probably around about 9-ish that the police turned up at my house.
6 in the morning or?
6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So,
they showed up at your house at 9?
Yeah, 4 of us came down together.
So you missed them by 3 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe a little bit less. But they rang the bell. My wife was just too scared to answer the door. She was just in tears. She phoned me up and she was crying. She just didn't know what to do. So we got back to her and said, look, just let them in. Like, you've got nothing to hide. And she said, well, I know where you are. because I booked your hotel. I said, no, you don't. I've just switched to a different one, so you don't even have any information that's worth having. So we spent a bit of money on hotels last night. They were not even going to sleep in very much.
Are you going to make the call now? Or?
I'll make a call in a couple of minutes, so I want to be...
Where do you think he might fly? He might fly over somewhere and over in here?
Yeah. Because the photojournalist that we've got lined up, she's already lined up to send the photo straight into the Guardian as soon as she gets it.
Ring it. I'll be flying the drone in 1 hour time.
At Heathrow.
At Heathrow.
So, let's see if we're live. Anybody there? Anybody seeing that? At the moment, we're still on zero people. So basically, we are very close to Heathrow now. And this... Yeah, exactly. And basically, we've got a little technical glitch. The drone isn't flying. So we just have to improvise on plan B, and it's also very dark here. But you see, we're holding the drone head high. So unfortunately, no drone flying, just drone posing.
So.
Oh, they are jamming? Very clever. So as you heard, so apparently we've got a jamming signal.
Police have arrested climate change campaigners after they attempted to fly drones at Heathrow Airport. The group Heathrow Pause had warned it would use devices within the no-fly zone to protest against the airport's planned expansion. Well, Sky's Ashley Blake joins me now live from Heathrow. Very good morning to you, Ashley. Planes have begun to arrive safely this morning, but more arrests there.
Yes, good morning, Sarah Jane. Dramatic scenes here already on the side of the perimeter fence at Heathrow here. Two arrests have been made. Two men on conspiracy of to commit a public nuisance within the perimeter of Heathrow.
We're here in Holborn outside the custody suite. We're coming up to 24 hours of five people being arrested due to things to do with Heathrow Pause.
That's the door over there we're waiting for, right, huh?
This is the door that we're waiting for. Oh dear! You've been released! Fantastic! Bye!
Who was that?
That was Larch, who has just been released. He's got to go to the hospital to get his tetanus as he was bitten by a dog last night. So now we're hoping that the other four will be coming out of here very, very soon, because Larch has been released, then let me just text that over so that other people know that.
Roger's not here.
No, so Linda is here, Valerie is here, Larch is here, Howard is here, and
Mike?
James is here.
Right here.
Mike and Roger.
Are Charlie Cross?
Yeah, are not here. I can't remember where they are, but I can look it up if you want to know. But they're not here.
Okay, well, as I've already stated to you, I believe that you're deliberately obstructing me from taking part in perfectly lawful media relations activities.
Okay. All right, well, we've had that discussion.
Sorry.
But those,
no,
those
not
are the reasons. Those are put on.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
All right. Do you want a contact number?
Yeah, please.
So the other three are going to be coming out soon as well, which is good news.
All right.
Do you want?
Valerie should go out somewhere.
Valerie,
relax. Oh, don't you ever do any more fucking singing, man? 2:00 in the morning. Actually, it kept me going some of the time. Are you alright?
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah, I am.
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I didn't know that anyone else is here. I thought I was here on my own.
Really?
Yeah.
I wanted to shout out to you, but then, like, and then they were like, don't talk to you, so I was like, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You don't have to do what they say.
I know, but I'm a good girl normally.
Just throw like a small step there.
Thank you.
There we are.
Hey,
thank you.
How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All
the
best, James.
Hey, nice to see you.
I saw you on the phone and I was like trying to wave at you, but you were too busy. And I thought, I better not talk to you, they'll tell me.
Oh, inside?
Yeah, inside.
All right, all right. Cool.
You
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
How do you feel it went today for you?
Normal.
And for the cause?
Yeah. I think, you know, to hear anecdotes of kids saying to their parents, you know, Your flight's costing me my future. That's very, very powerful. And that's a conversation that won't stop. I think we've turned a corner with aviation. And I'm not quite sure why. But I guess partly because of the conversations that have happened in the past week, past few days, partly because we've taken on this action.
What are you gonna go and do now?
Get on the train to Exeter and go home and see my family and have a beer. Why don't you start off and tell us what happened at Valerie's?
So we were at Valerie's just doing some interviews actually, and then went into the garden, and I'd got an interview, I was doing interviews, and I'd got another interview lined up in like 5 minutes time, 10 minutes time, and I was like a bit scared and intimidated by whatever was at the door. I didn't know who it was, and I was like, okay. So I just kind of went to the neighbour's garden and sat there quietly and did the interview. And then while I'm doing the interview, there's these helicopters overhead, and it's like, wow, I think that might be the police. They might be after, you know, like arresting us. Before I had a chance to decide what to do, this dog came along, police dog, and smelt my leg and then just started biting me. It bit like both my legs, it bit my trousers. I've got a big cut there. Got another one here. And it was really scary. It's terrifying.
So this event that happened to you, do you feel it's changed you in any way?
Yeah, it's upsetting, but I mean, you know, and it's interesting because I see the urge of like just wanting to retreat. I just want to go and hole up somewhere and, you know, have some sleep and rest and you know, but it's like that's not going to stop our species from becoming extinct. We're on a pathway of destruction. Business as usual is death at the moment, so we've got to change that course. So I just take some time to relax and just keep helping, do what I can, whatever that means. So it's helping to support others. It's going in, maybe it means getting my wallet and going and flying a drone tomorrow. I don't know. But at this point, it's whatever's most useful.
After Larch left, I spoke with some people from Heathrow Paws, and they said Roger had been held for over 24 hours and that they were likely going to hold him longer. I was tired, hungry, cold, but I decided to wait. What did they charge you with?
I haven't been charged, I'm just being put on bail.
You've been charged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when do you find out what happens next?
I'm not sure, I've got to see my solicitor. But I've got my books, that's the main thing.
Oh. It is always easy to ignore climate change when it occurs thousands of miles away or on the other side of the world. But if you are willing to honestly look, one will find it is happening right here and right now in England.
At the minute, we are by the River Don that is flowing down into Fish Lake, obviously in the Doncaster area. We never thought anything like this would happen, like on this scale. No one really took it serious at first, and it's devastated the place. Obviously, we had the really bad floods in 2007. Like you said, it was the event of a lifetime. It will never happen again. They're going to look at investing loads of money into the flood defences and things. And obviously, here we are today. I believe that climate change has had an effect, and people are going to see it on the news. They're going to see it in documentaries, in magazines, newspapers. And I want people to start realising that this is actually real. That climate change is having an effect on everything, and it is affecting everybody's lives. And I mean, I work with people in the pantomime that are in their 60s, 70s, and they've never been devastated like this before.
Starting now, yeah.
Whitehouse
and Connor, I mean Cosmo. Right, move on. So, we are in a flight zone of Heathrow Airport. And the drone is in the air.
So you haven't turned yourself in yet?
I don't see the point. While there's potential for media coverage, I will be turning myself in. But if they're not catching up with me, I'm not helping them.
And did it look like they closed any? Were there airplane flights?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the planes were business as usual on the airport.
Secret rendezvous. Going to see
Roger Hallam.
So you think he's up here going to fly?
Well, he was going to be at Stanwell Village Hall, but there was a lot of police there when we arrived 10 minutes ago. They've all gone away. Maybe they're all going up to meet Roger up here. I don't know.
One person who's left.
Yeah, one in October.
Let's help him up. You haven't shut the airport. Make sure he's all right. Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Andy, one person in, help him sit down. Chris, can you stay back a little bit? I don't want you getting hurt.
Roger Hallam was taken to Uxbridge Magistrate Court, where he was found guilty for breaking his bail conditions, and he was put on remand in Wormwood Scrub Prison, where he stayed for 6 weeks.
Thanks, Roger. We know that you got arrested, but I find great that you have tried to save the future. You are our hero.
Not exactly sure what day it is. All the days seem like they're kind of blending together at this point. I just read a message on the Signal group. Apparently there's a 7-year-old woman that just has taken the bus in to London, and that she's waiting at the Flying Egg Cafe and she wants to fly a drone. Apparently no one else is available right now to film her, so I said I'd do it. I'm somewhat concerned because some of the people that have filmed the activists have been arrested and some of them have not. But I am concerned. But nonetheless, I'm on my way to Heathrow Airport to film her.
There are other things I'd much, much rather be doing. And at this time in my life, I really should be coming to terms with my own mortality. But what I always thought would comfort me would be the world going on after me. The seasons coming round regularly, the flowers and the birds. And I've got some beautiful grandchildren, and I used to believe in a future for them. And now hundreds of species are dying. Farmers can't trust the seasons. And my grandson, who was only 12 last month, said to me, "What is the chances of me dying of old age?" And of course, I'm his grandmother. And I said, "Well, you're living in a privileged country. You will probably make it that far. Maybe your children won't."
Frank, how do you feel that the Heathrow pause action was different than other actions we've seen in the past?
What I feel about the Heathrow action is, well, yeah, I mean, it didn't make the headlines that I expected, but it did something. And also within our community, within Extinction Rebellion, that there were quite a number of people who were really intent to going to prison. You know, in April, there were about 1,200 people willing to get arrested. But what was really, really powerful with his reports, that there were actually 60 people really determined and ready to go to prison just by participating in a completely symbolic action, which had no chance of really interrupting traffic at Heathrow. So that was very powerful.
Now
I feel a bit nervous, and I've never done a naughty thing like this before. Secretary General Antonio Guterres said if we don't have immediate action in this 2-year period to reduce emissions substantially, we will fail to keep the climate from going out of control. We will fail to stop our ecosystem being destroyed. So when my son comes to me and he's going, "How? Why is it that no one's listening to us? Why is it that the world won't change?" And I don't have an answer for that. It's, why are the adults not acting when the evidence is there? So, you know, what can you do? You have to hug them and reassure them. But it's very difficult to give them hope. So all of my boys gave me a really big hug this morning and said that they're worried for me and stay safe. But at the same time, they also know exactly why I'm doing this. I gave them a big hug and I said, "Look, I'm going to do this really simple thing. It's not dangerous, it's really safe. I'm going to look a little bit foolish and I'll probably be arrested." And they understand that. I'm looking forward to seeing them again soon, hopefully.
Tell me who built this for, who made this for you?
My granddaughter Alice.
Your granddaughter Alice built this for you?
Yeah. From a kid.
Yeah?
It was quite difficult. I couldn't do it. She could.
How old is Alice?
13.
What did Alice say when she gave it to you?
Well, she wished me well with it. And,
yeah?
She's, as I say, she's a great news cycle, so I shall see her on Friday unless I'm not.
And now I'm going to stand back a little bit and watch you guys get a rest of you on the way, okay?
Was sort of from one point of view just interesting to see was a story was presented of heroic law enforcement foiling this, you know, dastardly scheme, going in preemptively, jamming the drones, keeping the British public safe. And for anyone who knew what was actually happening and who knew that drones were being flown precisely as described, it was amazing to see that this just wasn't reported, that this fiction that was being presented was just accepted throughout the mainstream media. And this is an unfinished story, because what's really interesting now is to see how this plays out at trial. Assuming there is a Crown Court trial for conspiracy to cause public nuisance. Because at that point, it will be a central part of the defence, presumably, that actually there was no risk to anybody at all. The video footage will be shown of these toy drones flown at head height, of protesters unable to get themselves arrested, even when they wanted to in some cases. And that mismatch between the narrative and the law enforcement action will become really manifest. And on the basis this will be a trial of substantial public interest, if people remember enough and their memories go back to how this was presented, they will be seeing a very, very different story at trial. So this is unfinished business. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
So I literally just walked across London today. I went to Charing Cross Police Station, and on the way there, I met a guy who just got chatting to him, and he, in the course of a 10-minute conversation, he went from being like, oh, humans are fucked anyway, they're a cancer on the planet, we don't want them, to going, actually, when are you doing this? I'll join you. And he literally wants to come and fly a drone with me tomorrow. So I, rather than get his details, I just put the website in his phone so he can go and look at all the information. I said, look, there's the briefing, there's how you sign up. So yeah, I was just absolutely blown away. I was a young guy just about to go to uni, and he's like, I need to go to university on the 21st, as long as I can do that. I'm like, they'll only hold you for 24 hours, you'll be released. It's like, fine, I'm in. So yeah, it's just amazing. And then just, so between Charing Cross Station and here, because we had to come to here to get my keys, got my bag at Charing Cross. Then we bumped into three guys. They saw my Extinction Rebellion symbol. They're like, oh, Extinction Rebellion. And I was like, oh yeah, come down in October. They're like, yeah, we're down with that. So they're really up for coming and joining us. So this is just a little walk across London, and you're just finding people all the time wanting to join in. They see that we're heading for catastrophe, so we have to act.
Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has.
But I'm here today for a different reason. Try to make a difference to this crisis, this existential crisis that we face. I'm at City Airport in London. I've booked on a flight to Amsterdam at 1:05. What I'm anticipating is that I will be taken out first to the flight because I've booked assistance. As I get to the door of the plane, I'll be as lightly clad as possible. I will attempt to climb onto the roof of the plane, so maybe just cause a bit of disruption. That's what we need. It's the only thing. Civil disobedience, the only thing that makes a difference under these circumstances. Don't know whether my plan will work. There's a lot of rebels outside the airport. There are a few inside. I think I'm the only one airside at the moment. But yeah, gonna give this a go.
There's my plane to Amsterdam. Looking forward to boarding.
Okay, I'm streaming from London City Airport, and as you can see, there's a gentleman who's climbed on top of the plane. This is to just shout out to everyone that we're in a climate emergency. He's so brave. He's blind. He's a Paralympian. And here we are at London City Airport, if you've just joined us.
Okay, here I am. On top of a fucking aeroplane. At City Airport. I hate hiding some shit myself.
This is a remarkable sight. Here we are at London City Airport. He was bound on a flight to Amsterdam. But things are much more important than we need to encourage people to fly less.
So this is all about the climate and ecological crisis. We're protesting against government inaction on climate and ecological breakdown. They declare a climate emergency and then do nothing about it. In fact, they go the opposite direction. They sanction the expansion of airports, Heathrow, Bristol, and others. I believe there's expansion of the City Airport in London too. That's due. We can't let this go on. I just have to tell myself I'm not gonna fall. This is for my kids, this is for everybody's kids. It's for all the young people who face a horrendous future. The climate and ecological breakdown. They're going to face starvation. Oh God, this is too scary. I don't know how the hell I got up here. I don't know how the hell I'm going to get down again. I'm going to have to stop this live stream. I'm going to have to stop. I'm too scared.
James Brown, who's been with Extinction Rebellion for quite a long time, he's a passionate supporter of all we stand for and all we do. He was a Paralympian in the London Games. He's partially sighted. I did a pre-interview with him where he explained to me how devastated he feels that his children are growing up in this a very different world.
Breaking news. We've just been in the courthouse. And the Royal Courts of Justice, and the ruling has come in favour of stopping the third airport, expansion of Heathrow on this monumentous day. So unbelievable what just happened inside. This is going to send shockwaves around the world. From now on, any airport expansion has to listen to the climate science and listen to the reports of having to stay below 1.5 degrees of warming. So this is going to
Do you think the ruling here is going to stop aviation expansion in the UK, or is it just they're going to go back and kind of try and fudge something?
Whatever happens now in this country, an explanation has to be given of how you square this with 1.5 degrees. And that is profound systemic change. This is the moment that we've been waiting for.
Amazing, amazing. Tim, can't leave?
Yes.
Yeah, Tim. Yeah.